Let's move on to our last lesson of Section 3, Meetings and Procedures of the Association Membership and the Association Board. This is Lesson 4. Let's talk about association committees and the important roles they play within community associations. First off, it's the board that takes the lead in appointing these committees, and they do so by providing specific written duties and authority to each group. The power to create these committees comes from several sources, including the articles of incorporation, the bylaws, and resolutions passed by the board itself. Now, when we mention advisory committees, it's essential to understand their function. These committees are primarily focused on gathering information and making recommendations. However, they don't have the authority to make binding decisions on behalf of the association or the board. In the context of condominium and cooperative associations, a committee can consist of board members, unit owners, or a mix of both. They are appointed by the board or a board member to provide recommendations regarding the budget or to take specific actions on behalf of the board. It's worth noting that unless the membership has amended the bylaws to allow for a different procedure, there won't be a nominating committee in place. Unit owners have a right to attend committee meetings and participate in discussions about any agenda items. However, the board can establish reasonable rules regarding how and when members can speak during these meetings. Additionally, condominium unit owners and cooperative shareholders have the option to record these meetings, whether through audio or video, as long as they adhere to the rules set by the board. When it comes to notifying members about committee meetings, the same notice requirements apply as they do for board meetings. This means that notice must be posted on the association property at least 48 hours before the meeting. If a committee is meeting to make final decisions or recommendations regarding the association's budget, they must follow these notification requirements. On the other hand, if a committee is not making final decisions or budget recommendations, they may be exempt from these rules depending on the association's bylaws. For homeowners associations, there are specific requirements for committee meetings that make final decisions about spending or architectural approvals. These meetings must be open to all parcel owners, although they may not have the right to speak. Just like with other committee meetings, notice must be provided in the same manner as for board meetings. Now, let's touch on closed committee meetings. If a committee is meeting with the association's attorney to discuss litigation or seek legal advice, those meetings are not subject to the open meeting requirements outlined in the statutes. Moving on to the special emergency powers of community association boards, it's important to know that unless the governing documents specifically prohibit it, a board can respond to damage caused by a declared state of emergency in their area. They have the option to conduct meetings, whether board, committee, or membership, via telephone or video conferencing, with notice given in whatever way is practical under the circumstances. This could include everything from posting notices on the property to using social media or even public service announcements. In times of emergency, boards can also cancel and reschedule meetings, appoint assistant officers who aren't directors, and even relocate the association's principal office if necessary. They can enter into agreements with local governments for debris removal and implement disaster plans that might involve shutting down essential services like elevators or water systems. Furthermore, based on advice from emergency management or public health officials, boards can determine which areas of the property are safe for occupancy and can even require evacuations if necessary. If someone refuses to evacuate when ordered, the association is protected from liability for any resulting injuries or damages. The board also has the authority to take actions to prevent further damage or health risks, such as contracting for the removal of hazardous materials or debris, even if those responsibilities typically fall to individual unit owners. They can also levy special assessments without needing a vote from the owners and borrow money if necessary to fund emergency repairs. These special powers are intended to be used only for as long as necessary to protect the health and safety of everyone involved and to mitigate further damage. Importantly, during a declared state of emergency, associations cannot prohibit unit owners or their guests from accessing their units or common areas unless there's a specific government order preventing such access. Any access must still comply with reasonable restrictions set by the association. So, as you can see, the structure and authority of association committees, along with the emergency powers of boards, are designed to ensure that communities can effectively manage their affairs, especially during challenging times. It's all about maintaining safety, communication, and the well-being of all members involved. Let's talk about the important topic of minutes and records in our community associations. First off, it's essential that the minutes from all meetings, whether they're membership meetings or board meetings, are documented in writing within a reasonable time frame. Now, what does reasonable mean? Well, according to common law, that time frame is typically considered to be 30 days. Once the minutes are written up, they don't become official right away. They need to be approved by the group that they were prepared for. After approval, a designated representative from that group will sign and date the minutes, making them official. Until that approval happens, the minutes should be clearly marked as draft. Even though they're not official yet, these draft minutes are still part of the association's official records, which means members or their authorized representatives can inspect and copy them. Speaking of official records, these are outlined in the governing statutes and documents of the association. If you're curious about what specific records are required, you can check the appendix for a complete list. It's also important to note that the board is responsible for maintaining these official records, and they must be kept right here in the state of Florida. Now, the association has the authority to create reasonable written rules about how often records can be inspected, when and where this can happen, and how members can go about inspecting them. However, they cannot require a parcel owner to provide a reason for wanting to inspect the records. Plus, every parcel owner has the right to inspect the records for at least one full business day each month. When it comes to accessing these official records, members and their authorized representatives can do so at reasonable times. This access should be available either within 45 miles of the community or within the county where the association is located. The association can make it easy by having copies of the records available for inspection, or even providing electronic access via the internet. This means you could view the records on a computer screen and print them out if needed. Additionally, if you're a member or have been authorized by a member, you can use your own portable device, like a smartphone or tablet, to make electronic copies of the official records. The association cannot charge you for using your device, which is a great way to ensure you have access to the information you need. If you request access to the records in writing, the association is required to provide them within 10 working days. If, for some reason, you're denied access to these records, you have the right to seek damages. The minimum damages for the association's failure to comply can be $50 per day, up to a maximum of $500, starting from the 11th working day after your request. In cases where access is denied, anyone who prevails in an enforcement action can also recover reasonable attorney fees from the person in charge of the records who knowingly denied access. The association must also keep an adequate number of copies of important documents like the Declaration, Articles of Incorporation, bylaws, and any amendments. They should also have a question and answer sheet and year-end financial information readily available for unit owners and prospective buyers. If someone requests these documents, the association can charge for the actual costs of preparing and providing them. Now, let's touch on some specifics regarding condominiums and cooperatives. If a unit owner requests access to official records in writing via certified mail and doesn't receive a response after 10 days, they can make a second request. If there's still no response after another 10 days, the Division of Florida Condominiums, Timeshares, and Mobile Homes can issue a subpoena to require the production of those records. The association must also keep an adequate number of copies of important documents, like the Declaration, Articles of Incorporation, bylaws, and any amendments. They should also have a question and answer sheet and year-end financial information readily available for unit owners and prospective buyers. If someone requests these documents, the association can charge for the actual costs of preparing and providing them. Now, let's touch on some specifics regarding condominiums and cooperatives. If a unit owner requests access to official records in writing via certified mail and doesn't receive a response after 10 days, they can make a second request. If there's still no response after another 10 days, the Division of Florida Condominiums, Timeshares, and Mobile Homes can issue a subpoena to require the production of those records. If a law enforcement agency issues a subpoena for records, the association must comply and provide those records within 5 business days, unless otherwise specified. For vacation and timeshare plans, the managing entity is responsible for maintaining all related books and records, which must be available for inspection by any purchaser or their authorized agent within 7 days. However, not all records are available for inspection. For example, letters or communications from attorneys related to litigation are off-limits until the matter is resolved. Similarly, personnel records of the association's employees, medical records of residents, and personal identifying information like social security numbers and contact details are also protected. It's worth noting that while the association can distribute a directory with members' names and addresses, members can request to exclude their phone numbers from that directory. Lastly, in vacation and timeshare associations, the managing entity cannot share a purchaser's name, address, or email with others unless the purchaser gives written consent for that disclosure. So, there you have it. Understanding the rules around minutes and records is crucial for ensuring transparency and accountability within our community associations. If you have any questions or need further clarification, don't hesitate to reach out to Fred! How did you perform on Section 3, Lesson 4? If you'd like a refresher, feel free to revisit the lesson. You can also consult your course manual in Section 3, pages 93 to 109 of your Gray Systems, Inc. Course Manual.